You're listening to the PGIM India Insights podcast series by PGIM India Asset Management.
Going through some changes over here. No, not the podcast, just the market. Hello and welcome to another episode of PGIM India Mutual Fund presents India Insights, everybody. Ahalya here keeping you company for a jiffy. Just to set the stage before Ankit Jain, our trusty host, takes over. Now, the market has seen quite a few changes, but the market always does, right? The only predictable thing about the market is that it's going to stay unpredictable. But in the given context, how exactly do investors prepare for and navigate their fixed income portfolios given the state of affairs? That's the theme of today's podcast. So buckle up and pay close attention because we are diving into the ins and outs of it all right now. Over to you, Ankit.
Thanks, Alia. From series of rate hikes in 2022-23, global central banks have now started cutting interest rates. And even here in India, RBI has cut rates for the first time in 5 years. Welcome to PGIM India Insights. This is the first podcast of 2025, and I have with me our very own Puneet Pal, Head Fixed Income, who will take us through how investors should navigate their fixed income portfolio in the current market scenario. Hi, Puneet.
Hi, Ankit. Thank you for having me in the first podcast of 2025. So I'm glad to be answering your questions.
Sure, Puneet. Before we actually navigate, you know, how investors should look at their fixed income portfolio, I wanted to understand from you that a year back when we were interacting, the 10-year bond yields were somewhere in the range 720, 725, and now it's already hit 670.
Correct.
So what's your view for the next 12 to 18 months on bond yields?
Yeah, that's right, Ankit. So we have seen yields coming down over the last 1 year. Primarily because inflation has moderated and RBI has started cutting rates. In fact, the markets were factoring in a rate reduction by RBI, and that's why we had seen the yields coming down. Markets always factor in the future course of the rate trajectory, and we have seen the 10-year bond yields coming down below 7% in the expectation that RBI will start cutting rates, which they did earlier this month, as the MPC reduced the policy repo rate by 25 basis points. So going ahead, we do expect the bond yields to consolidate at these current levels for some time. We expect the benchmark 10-year bond yield to consolidate between 660 to 680 over the next couple of months before again gradually coming down over the next 12 months towards 640 levels. So we do expect a gradual reduction in the yields going forward as we see RBI cutting rates by another 25 to 50 basis points over the next 12 months. And apart from that, we do also expect RBI to keep conducting OMO purchases, which will support the bond yields. RBI has already done OMO purchases more than 1 lakh crores over the last 1 month. And going ahead, I think RBI will continue to do OMO purchases. So overall, with the RBI support in terms of liquidity infusion through large-scale OMO purchases, more expectations of rate cuts going ahead, these factors will support bond yields. And we do expect bond yields to gradually come down over the next 12 months.
So 640 to 650 is the levels which can come in the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, that's right. Another 30 basis reduction from the current levels is very much possible.
Sure. So, Puneet, you know, US 10-year yields are now at 445, 450 levels. So,
right.
Pre-COVID, the yields used to be close to, you know, 1% or even 0% in certain tenure. Why would an FII from US come to India where their own risk-free rate is 4.5. You know, why would they take all the risk to come to Indian fixed income market at when the spread is hardly 200 basis points?
Yeah, that's right, Ankit. It's a very valid question. In fact, if you look at the last couple of years or last 3 years, we have seen FPI flows into bond markets in India continuing to be pretty steady. And that was a phase when actually the Fed, the US Fed, was hiking rates. Now, since September of last year, we have seen actually the Fed reducing rates. And though there has been some volatility on the external front in terms of the INR depreciating, but FPI flows have still been positive. So we think that India's overall strong macroeconomic fundamentals and also the fact that Indian sovereign FAR securities were included in 3 global benchmark indices over the last 1 year. So these two factors have led to steady FPI flows into the Indian bond markets, and we expect these flows to continue going ahead. Given the fact that Indian FAR securities probably can be included in more global benchmark indices going ahead, and also the fact that there is a probability of a sovereign rating upgrade in India's case. So these factors probably will still mean that FPI flows continue to come in India at a steady pace going ahead.
Sure. You mentioned a very interesting point that, you know, the sovereign rating upgrade can happen of India. We, you know, as we speak, we are one notch above junk. And, you know, post COVID, the government has also been on a fiscal consolidation path. We just had a budget which was announced, a couple of weeks ago. And there were announcements which, you know, made on the fiscal number and the continued path on consolidation. So what do you think with the way the country is developing and we are still one of the fastest growing economy at 6.5%? You think the fiscal consolidation will continue to be there in the near future?
Yeah, absolutely. I think government has done a very good job in reducing the fiscal deficit. Remember, we had gone above 9% in terms of the center's fiscal deficit during the COVID years. So from that above 9% kind of a deficit, we are back to below 5% kind of a deficit in a matter of 3 years, right? So the fiscal consolidation has been pretty effective over the last 3 years. And going ahead, the government has said in the budget that they are going to target now debt to GDP rather than fiscal deficit to GDP. So they are saying that they will reduce the debt to GDP to 50% by 2030 from the current levels of 57%. So I think government has established a very credible record in terms of fiscal consolidation, and that will continue. And going ahead, we are likely to see this reduction in the overall debt to GDP numbers as the government has indicated over the next 5 years. So I think fiscally right now, I think they are not too much of a worry. In fact, we'll see further consolidation going ahead.
Sure. To continue that part on the fiscal consolidation, I think I have one interesting point to ask here, which is rupee vis-a-vis dollar used to be one of the most resilient currency last year.
Right.
Recently, in the last couple of months, it has depreciated, had touched all-time low of almost 88 and now back to 86.8. So what's your view on rupee?
So I think though rupee depreciation has captured a lot of headlines over the last 3 months or so, but I think one has to just look at what is happening to the dollar as a standalone currency. So the dollar index, which denotes the strength of the dollar, has actually appreciated by almost 9 to 10% over the last 3 months. Off late, it has fallen a bit from a high of around 109. The dollar index has fallen now below 107. So there has been some correction in the dollar index, or the strength of the dollar, as we may put it. So more than rupee weakness, it is basically the strength of the dollar that is leading to this relative depreciation. And second fact is that rupee probably was overvalued 3 to 4 months back. If we look at the real effective exchange rate, then rupee was showing an overvaluation of around 6%. So I think a large part of the depreciation that we have seen over the last 3 months in INR is a result of one, a dollar strength indicated by the rising dollar index. And secondly, relative overvaluation of the rupee. So both these factors probably have contributed to the INR depreciation, which we don't think is out of the line or doesn't represent any weakening of the domestic macroeconomic fundamentals. And going ahead, we think that a majority of this correction is behind us. So going ahead, probably we'll see a much more stable currency, especially a lot of analysts are pointing towards that probably the dollar index has made a top at around 109. So we may not see another round of appreciation in the dollar index. And also the rupee relative overvaluation has corrected. So both these factors make us believe that probably we'll see some stabilization going ahead in the rupee, though it may depreciate a bit more from the current levels, but we'll not again likely to see another 4 to 5% depreciation. Probably we'll see another 2% depreciation from the current levels.
Which is the usual. So it will keep on depreciating, but maybe at a much slower pace, and it will be very, very stable than what it has been in the last few months,
yes.
Correct?
Yes, yes, that's absolutely right. So though it may depreciate, but it will be much more gradual and slow in depreciating, because we had seen this overvaluation of the rupee, relative overvaluation of the rupee getting corrected. And the dollar index, which was trading above 109, is back to below 107. So both these factors will contribute to probably a much more stable currency going ahead. So overall, we think the bulk of the correction in INR is behind us.
Generally, Puneet, when interest rates are, you know, on a falling trajectory, everybody discusses more so in the recent times about longer duration, you know, products. But what about right. the high yielding credit funds? What's your view on that? Nobody talks about it. I mean, post the credit crisis in 2017, 18, 19, I think nobody even talks about credit fund nowadays. So what's your take on that?
Sure, Ankit. So I'll take your question in two parts. First, I'll address the duration part. So what we have seen over the last 1 year is that the spreads have compressed between the longer duration bonds and the shorter duration bonds, which means that the yield curve has actually flattened. And currently what we have is a very flat yield curve where your 1 year T-bill is trading around 655, your 5 year government security is trading around 662, hardly a spread of around 7-8 basis points. And if you look at the 10-year benchmark, it's around 670. So just 8 basis points from the 5-year, and the longer end bonds around 7%. So 30 basis spread from a 10-year. So it's a pretty flat yield curve currently that we are witnessing. And going ahead, we think that the yield curve will actually steepen, because historically, as the rate cutting cycle progresses, the yield curve starts to steepen, which means that probably the yield at the longer end of the curve may not come down too much from the current levels, whereas the shorter end yields or the shorter end part of the curve, probably there the yields can come down much more than the longer end part of the curve. So overall, we do expect the yield curve to gradually steepen incrementally, and that's why we are preferring short to medium duration securities right now over ultra long duration securities in our portfolios. Now, coming to the second part of your question regarding high credit yield funds or credit funds as they are called, we believe that right now probably is not a very conducive time to invest into high yield credits, simply because of the fact that economic growth is slowing down. That's why we are having rate cuts by RBI. The banking sector liquidity is pretty tight currently, which RBI is trying to address through OMO purchases, through FX swaps. So going ahead also, we do expect that this banking sector liquidity probably is going to be neutral and not surplus. So that is not very supportive of credit funds or high yield credits. So as the economy slows down, there are some concerns on the MFI sector, which have been well documented in the NBFC and the banking sector results, and also the fact that liquidity in the banking system probably will not be surplus in the foreseeable future. So overall, we do not prefer credit funds right now as an investment vehicle.
As an investor, one should stick to, you know, shorter end of the curve to longer duration funds.
Yeah, short to medium duration funds. Yeah, so I was just saying that in addition to the domestic factors, which I just mentioned regarding slowing economic growth and tighter banking sector liquidity, there are lingering political and economic concerns globally, which again do not support investing into high yield credits currently, because these securities are quite illiquid. And in case there is a geopolitical or economic accident globally, then to come out of these or to liquidate these securities becomes very difficult. So from that perspective, I'll say that it's better to wait for a couple of more quarters, and we will wait for more signs in terms of stability, both domestic growth as well as how the external sector is evolving before advocating or recommending credit funds. But till that time, we think it's better to be invested in short to medium duration funds.
Sure, Puneet. So if one has to structurally take a long-term view, would you suggest a long duration roll-down strategy or a dynamic bond fund?
Well, I will always prefer a dynamic bond fund, simply because of the fact that a dynamic bond fund actually can take tactical calls, which becomes crucial, especially in the current prevailing uncertainty on so many fronts, both domestically as well as internationally. Though we have seen some stability, as I said, domestically in terms of RBI cutting rates, supporting the banking sector liquidity through OMOs, but there's still a decent amount of uncertainty pertaining to how the growth will evolve on the domestic front. And internationally, again, we have seen a pretty decent amount of volatility over the last couple of months. And as I said, dynamic bond funds will be able to do better than a pure roll-down structure, simply because they have the freedom to take tactical calls. A pure roll-down structure at this moment, probably I will say just avoid that. A fund which is flexible in terms of its orientation towards duration, its orientation towards security selection, is a better bet rather than just locking your investments into a pure roll-down product.
Sure. So you would prefer a dynamic bond over any other strategy right now, somebody who has a medium to long-term view.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure. Thank you, Puneet, for, taking us through your view on fixed income overall market and which funds to look at. I think I will like to, summarize a couple of interesting points which you mentioned, and then, I'll hand it over to you for your last comment. One is, I think you mentioned that in the next 12 to 18 months, you feel that the yields can come down to 640, 645, 50 levels, and it is better to be in the medium to longer duration end of the curve. On the flows front, you, Puneet mentioned very nicely that even if US 10-year yields are close to 4.5%, India will continue to get flows in fixed income security because of the R securities getting added to global indices. Most important, everybody talks about rupee. So rupee is now going to be more of a stable in nature, and it will slow and gradually have its moments. What it does, it won't be a sharp fall which happened in the last couple of months. And complete no-no to credit funds, especially when growth is slowing down. There are issues on the MFI front. And, last and the final is better to be in a dynamic bond fund than a long duration roll-down strategy where, the securities can be tactically played by, of the portfolio manager. Puneet, I hope I have summarized it pretty well for our investors.
Yeah. I think you have done pretty well summarization of the entire discussion. I'll just add that given the current uncertainties, especially in the global environment, it's better, as I said, to play the duration side, especially since we believe that there's still some juice left in terms of the yields coming down. So a short to medium duration strategy with a portfolio which is pretty liquid and flexible in terms of taking tactical calls will, in our view, help the investors get a decent risk-adjusted return over the next 1 year or so. Credit funds, as I said, it's better to wait and watch for at least next couple of quarters because there are lingering concerns on domestic growth as well as international volatility, what we have seen. So better to be invested in short to medium term dynamic kind of a fund, which is flexible with duration calls and has a liquid portfolio which can be reoriented to the evolving circumstances. So I think that's what we believe will be beneficial for the investors in the next 1 year.
Sure. Thanks, Puneet. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on PGM India Insights. I will catch you on the next podcast soon.
Well, as always, Ankit and Puneet make for a great combination when it comes to diving deep into the market scenario. I think that gave us a lot of very valuable insights. Like I've said many times before, that means our podcast is aptly named. Thank you for tuning in, everybody, and we'll be back with another episode soon. But in the meantime, happy investing.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
You're listening to the PGM India Insights podcast series by PGM India Asset Management.